Welcome to the Taboo Podcast, hosted by me, Lexi D'Angelo, industry rule breaker, seven-figure moneymaker, and founder and head witch of the Taboo Institute. WTF is the taboo, you ask? It's the vortex of transformation that is experienced when people claim the magic of the taboo, woo, and Y-O-U. It's a way of being that invites you to question the status quo and dismantle the outdated hierarchical paradigms and structures that have been sucking your soul, and instead follow the signs of your turn on and true knowing to create fulfilling and sustainable success your way, aka without ever sacrificing your purpose, passions, and priorities in the process. After all, I'm a firm believer that true transformation happens when you're able to unapologetically claim and express your fullest, most multidimensional self. It's time to ditch the norm, embrace the provocative, and reach next levels of impact and income by invoking the taboo. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Taboo Podcast episode. I say that every single time and it's like, duh, you know what episode or podcast you're tuning into. But in case you didn't know, you're on the Taboo Podcast. That's what you're tuning into right now. So welcome. I am joined today with Vicky and a special guest, Nat. And Nat is one of our Taboo certification students. And she's not any Taboo certification student. She is someone who has just officially completed all of the requirements for the certification, which I'm sure we're going to get into more in a moment because this is no small feat and is definitely something that we want to publicly celebrate. And before we do, though, people are probably wondering, cool, this Nat sounds awesome, but who's Nat? What are they all about? What do? Who do they support? Who do they serve, et cetera? So Nat, is there anything that you can share with our listeners to share a little bit more about you, your magic, and who you support in the world?
Thank you, Lexi. So I'm Natalie, and I am a spiritual perspective and reality integration coach. This is a title I have claimed because I live with one foot in the spiritual realm all the time. And I am a mother who cannot get 5 minutes into her business without an adorable little bubba waltzing in.
And hey there!
And she's perfect timing, really, because me going into this path and really recognizing where my magic should be in the world was really after I had it. And not that she's my reason, like, she is my reminder that I need to show up in the world. She reminded me how we are all worthy and how we really need to be authentic. And like, the first year of her was amazing, as so many mother baby anything experiences. But it was also pandemic lockdown, so it was difficult because it was just me and her, which was very strange. And like, a year in, I was kind of losing it. I was like, I need to connect, like, my soul is someone that needs to be part of the world, but also have my nice introvert go away. Everybody. And yeah, I'd been not struggling, but only half-heartedly putting my magic out there in the form of trying to sell tarot readings before. And I was just at this point where enough's enough, but I have no idea where to go. It's like, what do I do? So I was scrolling on Instagram, as is so often the case in the world now. And there was this like goddess activation masterclass. I thought, all right, why not? It was free. And they talked about coaching and how to turn tarot reading into something else. And it just sang to me. And it's like, yeah, this is how I maintain this beautiful lifestyle with my child. Six of Swords.
And for those of you who can't see right now and are listening to the podcast, her daughter just pulled a card for us or for Nat or for herself.
King of Pentacles.
I'm teaching her to read by reading tarot cards.
I love that. That is so amazing and magical.
Pennies, yeah. Knight of Pentacles.
Oh, this is so
cool. Yeah.
But yeah, it's,
I want to share this journey with her and this kind of childlike wonder. And the distractions of life is what leads me into being this reality integration coach. It's that you don't need to have all these separate things, have this fantasy over there, and, you know, still get the day job done.
Pony, yeah, yay!
And, you know, it all gets to be together. It all gets to be your life. And that's what it is your reality integrates. And that's what I'm aiming to help people with. Mm. And enjoying the chaos.
Yeah. I think that's so beautiful and so important, because I can only speak to motherhood for 7+ months so far, but I think there is something in enjoying the chaos. And so easily on a podcast episode like this, like if it were me and I had my daughter there and, you know, making noises, I might be like, oh my gosh, like, oh no, like I can't have her speaker. Like it needs to be perfect sound. And I've gotten, or in the past, I might have felt that way, but I feel like I've gotten to the space of the real raw stuff is magical. And so if people are here listening, I'm sure they can relate, whether it's a child, a dog, a life interruption, whatever it is. And so really being able to embrace that chaos and not be so stressed about it or trying to control the chaos in a certain way. That's been a whole learning lesson for me over these past, you know, 6-7 months or so. And I feel like you model that so beautifully and give people such a permission slip there as well. Like, yeah, so what? We can keep going. We don't need to pause things. We don't need to cut something out. Like, this just is. And I think that it's refreshing to not have things be so perfectly, carefully curated and to just roll with it. So I love that you're doing that with us right now.
Thank you. I will reflect on that. So I think, you know, that is what I'm trying to put across. Like, when she walked over, I was like, ah, shit. Like, the ease is blended with difficulty. Like, my first reaction was, oh no, we'll have to start again. I'm going to have to do something. But I am so about being unapologetic and not saying sorry, because sorry is a poison to self-worth and self-esteem. And that's what brings you down and pulls you out of authenticity. And so I thought in my head, you know what? I am embracing this. My child needs me. Like, my entire being, my entire need to be a coach, integrate my own reality, is that she can be part of my life whenever she needs me. Because that's what I want to be as a mother. So like, no, let's go for it. So yeah, it wasn't a, oh yeah, I'm just so good at being a mom and I don't mind my child being here. It's like, I absolutely minded for like half a second there. But it's, yeah, embracing that chaos and knowing that sometimes you have to just go through it, meet the eye of the storm, get that clarity, and storms pass.
Nat, I would love to have you speak to being unapologetic. And maybe we talk about that inside of the storm, like before the storm, during the storm, and afterwards, like not having to say sorry. I know that I've been witnessing you as a student inside of our community and how incredibly supportive you are to your fellow students and to the team. You've
everyone knows that when they are in your space, they have permission to be unapologetically expressed. And if they find themselves saying sorry, you're going to be like the one who's like, no, we're not doing that. So I feel like you are an advocate, a role model to share. Like, from where did that come from? What made you so incredibly adamant that we were not going to be apologetic in the world? Because I know it's not just team and students, it's like all people in your world that you encourage this.
Absolutely. Anybody that says sorry around me, I gotta, wait a minute. You do not need to apologize for having a life, for having a moment, for just being you. There is no reason to apologize for that. And that actually just came from an Instagram post. I saw some kind of psychology thing of how saying sorry reduces your confidence. So instead you should say thank you. And my way of explaining that is unapologetic gratitude. And you know, I am British, and I know for my Canadian friends, this is a very thing too. But also our society is very big on say sorry, like bump into someone, oh, sorry there. Run 5 minutes late or even get 5 minutes late early. Like, oh, sorry. You need to say something in a conversation. It's like, sorry, can I just? Sorry just seems to be like another so.
Clip, clip.
Yeah. We just say sorry as a filler word, and it kind of loses, you know, what sorry actually is. Like when you have caused a grievance, that apology means half of what it used to, because sorry is just a word.
Aww.
Love you too.
I am just like melting over here watching you two. She's grabbing her face and kissing her. She's so sweet. Ah. This is just beautiful to witness. And yeah, sorry, keep going. I got distracted by the cuteness.
Oh no, wow, you're sorry for being distracted by cuteness.
Thank you, Nat, for distracting us with your cuteness. And please keep going.
Exactly. And you see how your energy changed? Like, just your countenance there. When you said sorry, you're like, you pulled back. You're like, ah. Have I made a mistake? My nervous system is now dysregulated because I had to say sorry. As soon as you became consciously aware then, and you said, thank you and please, like your nervous system is like, yes, I am in this. I want this. I want to be a part of this experience. You leant forward, you smiled. Like me and Vicky, I'm sure, like we both felt the energy change in this space. And that's what unapologetic gratitude is all about. And that it was me experiencing that. And you have to be really, really conscious of it. Like, because it is not easy to just stop saying sorry. So that's why you replace it with thank you. And it does take conscious decisions to do it. You have to like say it in your head, translate it, and then speak. So it's a bit jarring at first. But the more you do it, the more that beautiful, confident feeling comes through automatically, naturally. Actually, today was a really good example. Like, I had a meeting at work. We were meeting in an external place. Me and a workmate got there early, managed to get into the building. But then everybody was telling us off, like, who let you in? You shouldn't be here. We're not open yet. Like before, I would have been like, I'm sorry, like, should I leave? I'm sorry. I would have been having anxiety attacks. I would have like been glowing bright red. I would have been, you know, cowering, trying to hide. Instead, I was just sitting in the middle of the cafe that wasn't open with all these people walking past glaring at me. I'm like, thanks for letting me know. And just carried on scrolling through my phone, waiting for the manager to turn up. Like that would not have happened if I had not practice unapologetic gratitude.
I want to put this into practice like now. I thank you for inspiring this, because I know that it's been like thing that I've catch myself doing. Sorry. Like even in team meetings, like see how often have I been like had a cat scratching at the door and I've like had to like be right back, sorry. Or I've really wanted to like satiate my mothering impulses and go and hug Malachi before he goes off to school and I'll be like, oh sorry, like thanks, sorry for missing that bit. Now it gets to be thank you for holding space while I went and did my mothering thing, or let the damn cat in, or like thank you for allowing space for me to do all my things that are my integrated reality. I love this idea of, as much as we love to compartmentalize things, especially with Virgo moon, it keeps me safe. I also love the idea of having everything be a fusion of one another. You inspire this so much for me. So now how do I do that inside of my own personal practice of self-love, right? How do I incorporate that into my gratitude practice? I don't know, I feel like it's going to enhance so much of my self-dialogue, what I'm telling myself on the daily, because I'm my harshest critic. I really give myself a hard time about getting things wrong or maybe making a mistake or offending someone. And it's like, whoa, this is going to change the game for me. And it was such a simple, I almost said tidbit, but we're allowed to say titties on the show, eh?
Can say whatever the hell you want.
This was a really beautiful bite-sized piece of advice that now somehow cognitively it makes sense to do it, whereas before it was like, well yeah, I know it's a thing, but like really, because I make mistakes, so I need to be sorry. Can you talk now to the places where sorry is the justified word, sorry is the, without being a filler word, I feel like I need permission, and maybe the audience needs permission of when it is appropriate to use the word sorry, obviously causing grievances, harm, but like, how do you play that dance? How do I know when I really need to be sorry and when it's not required? And I feel like it's got something to do with karma.
Yes, absolutely. I love this question because I don't actually have the full answer yet. It's something that I have been thinking about for a while, because it's taken me a while to be consciously aware of saying thank you. And I'm even starting to admit that where it's not needed, to just speak my truth as it is. And so, like you asked, like, so when do I say sorry? I was like, can I say sorry? Like, am I allowed to say sorry? Is it going to affect me by doing that? Like, outside of actually, you know, tripping someone over and really hurting them. It's like, it's very physical examples. But so I've gone the counter extreme, because I used to say sorry for everything as a filler. I've gone very much of, all right, I will not say it and I will see how I feel. Because I think blankets are for fleece and not theory. Like, there is not something that will suit me, that will suit you, that will suit Lexi, that will suit all of our listeners here. Yes, we will share some things, like the idea of saying sorry damages your self-esteem when you're using it as a filler, as a way of escaping judgment, escaping retribution for perceived threats, and doing the air quotes. And so it is a very personal journey over where you truly feel that sorry is relevant and necessary. But you get to play with it and you get to make mistakes with saying it, not saying it. So I invite everyone to play. Is it a pony? Yeah.
and my daughter is playing with a new unicorn that I have on my desk.
Thank you. Oh, you guys are so, so, so loving. I love this. I feel love just being in your presence. So, okay, I'm going to, this is how I often do like vocal processing on the podcast. Thank you for being like my space. The way I feel in my body, my nervous system, I feel like it's going to be the signal, the indicator of when the time is right for me to apologize. And that doesn't have to be what's needed for someone else. I need to feel into how I, my body is needing to deliver the sorry, to experience the sorry, and to not have that be because I'm seeking or escaping retribution or judgment, or I'm seeking validation or acceptance. Thank you. It's like Coach Natalie on the podcast episode.
I know, we just got served. I love it. Thank you for that. And I thought I was being conscious of it. And then all of a sudden, sorry popped out. It is such a conscious practice until it's not, though. It was something that probably 2 or 3 years ago, I got really good at not saying the S word. And then I realized that it's something that I've slipped back into more recently. And so this is a fantastic reminder to knock it off and to say what I really mean and what I really feel. And so thank you for that invitation. And I'm sure everyone else is thanking you too. So switching gears a little bit, you have been on quite the journey over the past, how many months has it been so far? 9, 10, I don't know. Almost a year, a little less than a year inside of the taboo world. And you have recently just submitted your final practicum assessment and or submission, and you are ready to be certified officially, which is so, so, so huge. So first of all, huge round of applause, all the confetti toss, glitter toss, and just honoring you for embarking on a path that many desire to take, and yet they might not say yes to because it is such an undertaking and it is such a commitment and a devotion to mastery, and not just your practitioner mastery, but even your personal mastery and who you become in the process. So I would love to hear from you a little bit about your journey, especially because before we hit record, you were saying that you were someone who before this experience, you didn't think that you could commit. And yet here you are, and you have showed up time and time again and truly devoted to this experience in yourself. So I would love to just hear from you a little bit about where you were before, what was going through your mind, your heart, your soul, and now what the journey was like, where you are today, and just anything that feels like it's bubbling for you and present.
Yes, I will love talking about this. Taboo is my favorite topic of conversation. I think all my friends act like they're not sick of it, but probably are. I talk nonstop about my amazing course that I'm doing, guys. And so it was last summer, and I was not in a good place. Like, it'd been the full pandemic year, and like I said earlier, I was looking for ways to actually be me, because I realized that, you know, you're always you, but it's how you present yourself that is the authenticity. And so I had all these thoughts, and I've always been very in tune with my intuition and my spirit guides, and they were like nudging me like, Natalie, just come on, you're almost there, like wake up, look at all these signs we're sending you. I'm like, but what? And so I just kind of stumbled across it, and then this absolutely magical Facebook ad popped up. It was like, we are the Hogwarts coaching world. It's like, I'm listening. It's like, take this quiz. Find out which magical realm you're in. It's like, I'm listening even more. Click, click. It's like, you are Mr. Lips. Like, I like this. And then 2 weeks later, I was clicking yes on signing up for a full certification of something I've never really heard of before. But it was just so aligned. I remember consulting my tarot cards, which in an earlier podcast, you were saying you can be a little bit too dependent on divination. But I love using divination as a kind of reflection of what I'm thinking, because I have anxiety tendencies, and I'm also very high in wind and chaos, as well as my mist and depth. So a lot of things goes on up in my head all the time. So tarot is a really good way of helping me focus on one thought, and then I get to look at how I actually react to seeing that thought in front of me. And I just remember the sun from the Lightseers tarot deck coming up, like when I said, would this experience be good for me? And the sun in the Lightseers tarot deck is like bright yellows. It's like all the beauty in the world. And I was like, yes. It's like, and I just felt it so strongly. But I remember I was kind of like at my in-laws' dining room table with everyone just kind of like doing stuff around me. I'm like, don't react. Like, it would look weird. So, yeah, I remember just kind of going to my partner. It's like, can we go for a walk? I'm like, so I want to spend this money. And he was like, what is this? You've never mentioned it before. It's like, I've been looking at it for days. It's just like, I feel so strongly about this. Like, I remember just looking at your website probably every minute of 2 days, being obsessed, like looking at, because you had all the team photos on. It's like, god, they look like bitches. I have a faulty pen, thank you. A faulty, whatchamacallit, first impression. So anytime I see someone's like, oh, they're a bitch, it means they're going to be the most amazing person in my life. This has happened with all of my best friends who I cannot live without.
But
as soon as I had that reaction of you, I was like, right, they're important. I need to know them. I need to talk to them. Like, there's no way that I cannot be involved in this now. So I think it's just my reaction to seeing powerful energy. Because there were a few students, like when I entered the Facebook group as well, like a few profile pictures always stand out to me, and I'm like, I'm like, they have, you know, they ended up in my coven, like magically, intuitively.
What is it? Screwdriver, well
done. She's undoing my desk chair, so if I fall down in a minute.
That's incredible.
It's okay, she's only using a curing, so I don't think it's gonna work. But yeah, so all these magical energies, and I just, it kept coming up that I was in the right place. I was in the right place. And the intake form came along. It's like, are you someone that can commit? And I'm like, yeah, totally. I have never seen anything through in my life. But I was like, it's fine. Like, I'll totally do it. And I was so thankful for all the accountability that you get through certification, like the weekly check-in form. Like, I did it religiously because I knew I needed it. It's like, I am not someone that can be consistent, be committed, but I can be in love and I can obsess. Like, I'm very good at obsessing. And so I knew, like, this is a specified amount of time. It doesn't have to be forever. And so I am able to do things in this time and say that I will stick at it. I still didn't believe it when I was telling myself that, but I was trying to convince myself for the investment. So the weekly check-in forms helped. Having the monthly coven calls was just amazing. And my coven leaders were beautiful practitioners. And having all my peers and being able to be in the castle community and, you know, be able to chat, like, all the calls every month. No. Wow. No. Chase, here you go. So, like, all the calls every month. Like, no. I pretty much went to every single one. No. I missed a couple for illness.
No.
You want the pretty crystal? Oh, you see the cake.
And I remember sometimes you would be on calls like at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, because you're in the UK. So, yeah, I totally bow low deep to you. Does that make sense? Low bow deep. Deep low bow to you for showing up. Really showed up for yourself. Yeah.
I was just about to mention that. It's like, yeah, one set of calls is midnight and the other is like 5 p.m., which seems more normal. For the midnight calls, like, I used to take a nap just before and my partner would be like, "Hey, you've invested in this, wake up, get online." So, you know, I had the support there of making sure I showed up, and I loved every single second of it. I haven't even got to like the content of the certification yet. I'm someone that struggles with, you know, reading nonfiction. Give me a novel and I will consume it. I will forget that time exists. I will not eat or drink. Like, I don't need the bathroom. So I will read until that other world has like completely overtaken my life. And I come out of the book like, where am I? 3 days have passed. What happened?
I can relate very much so. Fiction only. I can't remember the last time I finished a nonfiction book. So I feel you.
So that was another thing that worried me. It's like, oh, being a student. And the way all of you write, and you can really hear your voices through the content as well. Like, it's so human and it is so magical. I do not have the words to describe just how fun it is to learn taboo content. So like, at every single level, in every single direction, I was being supported to get through this with joy, complete joy.
How? Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And to get to this point now that I have done every single requirement. And even that, when you're handing in all of your requirements and you have to reflect back on, you know, how you completed the spell book, is there anything that really jumped out at you? Like, just the thought that has gone into the certification. I work in user experience, and so I'm very keen on thinking behind, like, oh, why would they have made these questions? Why would they have, you know, put things in this way? So I see it objectively, as well as my natural subjective way of looking at things as well, which was very fun for me, and added like another multi-dimension to the experience. So yeah, it has been incredible, and I want more.
We will always take more, Nat. You don't have to ask us twice. And yeah, I think that, thank you for sharing all that, because I think that it is such a comprehensive deep dive journey, and there is so much, there's so much in it. And yet we've really tried to curate it in a way where, even though it is so comprehensive, it is enjoyable and it is presented to you in a multitude of different ways to suit your learning style and to also just keep you, I don't know if the word is entertained, but yeah, I guess there's some entertainment factors in there, and engaged throughout the process. And so, yeah, like, for example, I don't think we've really spoken too much about this on a podcast episode before, but our students can earn different points. So we have a whole point system. So when people submit things, when they take action, when they complete things in the certification, they can earn points, which ultimately gets them certain prizes and unlocks spells. So Nat was one of our top earning points prize winners, which is huge. And I mean, that gamification is just a really fun aspect of the certification, but I think it also motivates some of our students who love that aspect to get more points and earn the prizes because there are some juicy ones in there. So I'm guessing you enjoyed that points experience.
Absolutely. As soon as I saw points, prizes, player one has entered the game. I am very much a gamer. So yeah, that was so much fun and kind of gave me this idea of how well I was doing. Like I wasn't attributing my worth of how much I was studying, but it helped me keep track of where I was. So I'm very visual. So like I could kind of picture, yep, my levels are going up.
What I also love about the fact that you've shared, maybe the learning experience was like something you were possibly apprehensive of, like, oh no, the student experience, like reading something other than fiction. Oh, how am I going to do that? Thank you, by the way, because I know you're a wordsmithing genius. Like that is one of your zones of magic as a copywriter. So knowing that you have been able to like receive the teachings, in a user-friendly experience way pleases me and the teaching faculty so much so. And I also want to remark upon the fact that you have embodied the work to a degree that I haven't necessarily witnessed to the degree that you have. So it's not necessarily the cognitive assimilation, like the mental learnings necessarily that you focused on, maybe, was it? I'm curious because you went straight to embodiment and facilitating in a really dedicated way. Could you talk to me about your learning styles and how you made that happen? Like, how did you integrate the learning so well? And now we've got AZ in the episode. Yay!
AZ has joined the call. She can't speak words, but she has lots of good sounds. So
so Nat, yeah, learning style. How did you make this work for you?
You told me this before and I smiled and said thank you. Because I asked my spirit guides, like, what am I going to get out of this experience? Like back before it all kicked off, I said, you know, what should I expect? What should my intentions be? They were like, you know, you're going to be so surprised. I'm like, oh, what about, like, you're not going to see it coming. Like, all right, anymore? That it's going to be good. So they wanted me to, like, truly just take it as it came. And so that's how I've just approached everything, like just take it and see it for what it is in that moment. And I've said to you before, I'm a shapeshifter, and I never realized that before. I just thought I was some flaky, whiny brat that never stuck to anything. And going through this experience, I realized, oh, it's not that I'm too much of this. Like, this is a good thing. This is how I experience life. This is how I can enjoy life. And it's accepting that and releasing guilt. So yeah, accepting joy, releasing guilt is something I didn't realize was possible because it wasn't even on the table at that point. And to just be able to be and not have to think of excuses, think of reasons. And I always thought there would be like this huge shift and I'd be, you know, like fairy godmother waves the magic wand and this sparkly dress and all this stuff would just happen. And it's been such a soft change that was building and building and building. You're like, oh, like, has anything happened? And then I look back, it's like, I feel so different. I feel good. And that is a wonderful feeling. And I know I'm still working towards feeling great.
No.
And that is an exciting feeling.
No.
I hear you and witness you tuning into all the goodness that has manifested as a result of your commitment to showing up, doing it your way. Whether the reminder has been your daughter and your desire to be like fully yourself, unapologetic in the world. So confetti tosses, big, amazing celebrations that you've experienced along the way, how you've felt is, it speaks volumes, and yet it can feel kind of intangible, right? But it is the thing that impacts everything else in our life. Tangibly speaking, what are the confetti tosses? No, just one. The biggest confetti toss that feels tangible. What is that?
Oh, good question. I think it's feeling capable. But I didn't before. But when I first took the quiz, I was very, very low in matter and knowing. And my outlook, my mindset was that I had to be matter and knowing to make any kind of successful business. Of course, I have matter and knowing somewhere inside me, but it's hidden. And it's not my natural tendencies. I have to work towards it. Now I know that I get to work towards it and get to work it in my Mr. Metz way. I absolutely love having these visual, elemental based ways of processing that in my head in the way that I think. I got an awesome theme tune going behind me here. So yeah, my confetti toss is that I feel capable to be an entrepreneur and get compensation for the magic that I'm putting out in the world. And it's going slowly, easefully right now, because I'm building up to some exciting things, and I have become, no, I recognize what my capacity and what my energy is, and I love that I'm okay with that, because above all else, I know I am capable no matter what comes.
As we all know, there are so many things that unfold when we believe in ourselves. It's easy to lose faith in self. I'm going to speak from my own experience. When I haven't followed up on things and committed to the things, it's like, am I even capable of really following through with anything? And I think I used to accept failure before I even tried. And it's interesting to witness my 17-year-old son, nearly 17, when he does the same thing. And I'm like, oh, no, self-belief. Like, whoa, I see that pattern. You believed in yourself. You always were capable. And now you are like actually embodying capability more so. I'm going to take it to like next level and use taboo terminology of being competent and confident. Like, you are not only capable, you are well and truly competent in, I mean, gosh, mothering, life, home life. And as far as an entrepreneur who is prosperous in the world, abso-fucking-lutely. And the confidence piece is what drives us, right? Like, knowing how far we've come, how far you have come, you are your own magic proof. And I love that we get to see you, witness you, celebrate you in this moment for being your own possibility portal. You trust it. And we are so incredibly grateful to you for trusting yourself and trusting the process that your own intuition, your own spirit guide team led you to, and trusting the Taboo team and your fellow students for holding space for you to go through this journey. Oh, my heart.
I just want to add to that too, Nat, you've been such a, I just feel like such a key figure inside of the community. And like Vicky said at some, AZ's farting. Thank you for that fart. Everyone's thanking you. See, I'm not sorry about it. I love it. maybe Vicky and I will start farting on episodes and just, you know, be loud and proud. Jokes aside, you have just brought yourself fully to not just the experience, but to the entire community. And it is so felt, it is so appreciated. And I just, I am, yeah, infinitely grateful for all that you've contributed and added to the Taboo experience. And yeah. Easy, are you grateful too? Yeah, Easy's grateful as well. And there's just so, there's so much to say, but anybody who follows you, who communicates with you, who connects with you, who gets to be on the receiving end of your magic will know that you are something truly special. And so on that note, where can people learn more about you? Where can they experience the magic that is Natalie for themselves?
I'm always lurking on Instagram as the Page of Words, which is a play on the tarot card, the Page of Swords. It goes to my storyteller magic. Yeah, all my links and everything is on there, so you can find it.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on this episode with us, for hanging out with our community, and we love you so, so big. Mwah. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me as much as I enjoyed recording this for you. And it would just mean the absolute world to me if you could go ahead and hit subscribe. And also, oh my gosh, you'd be the best ever if you could leave a review saying what you love most about this show. And of course, feel free to share this with your biz besties, your mom, your dog, anyone who you think would benefit from popping their earbuds in and taking a little listen. I appreciate you so, so much. And if you want to come and hang out with me on the interwebs, do some stalking, do some creeping, then you can find me at Lexi D'Angelo on Instagram, LexiDangelo. And also on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/TheLexiDangelo. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next time.